talk a little bit about the Voice in the Cloud service that we've been working with in the United States, where it's gone, where it came from, and what we're currently doing, and where we plan on going with it. So the project in the United States began when I became the chair of the Voice over IP working group and Internet 2 in the United States. And again, I started working with Hans and some people from other universities in Mexico, even as far back as then, in terms of trying to roll out collaborating services between universities. In 2009, we started implementing the Voice solution, the SIP solution on campus, and at the time we implemented a Mitel solution. Mitel solution was based on SIP standards, so it's based on standard internet technology, no proprietary anything in it. And then in 2014, Internet 2 said, we'd really like to see if we could maybe, instead of having each institution set this up, could we share it? Could it be a cloud service? So in 2014, we started to establish the SIP in a cloud service as one of the Internet 2 Net Plus services. I think there was a panel yesterday on some of the other Net Plus services. So in 2014, we started doing that. And as of today, we have about 20,000 telephone numbers that are on the system that currently are being routed through Internet 2, where it's basically strictly a cloud-based voice service. The universities include Tulane University, Texas A&M University, Iowa State, Penn State, and several other universities, including Internet 2 is on the network themselves too. So all of the Internet 2 networks, all the Internet 2 offices in the U.S. are using them as well. The benefits of going to a cloud-based solution are the same reasons you go to cloud for everything else. First of all, you end up having a much lower cost. And in the case of the voice service, the cloud solution that we've got set up right now is about half of the cost of implementing your own solution on campus. The nice thing about it, it doesn't matter. It's the same price per line. If you set up two lines, 200 lines, 2,000 lines, or 20,000 lines, it's the same low cost. So you can start out small and you can grow large if you want to. You've got the flexibility of standards-based services. And one of the problems with a number of the manufacturers is they build a closed ecosystem. And anytime you want to add a new capability, you want to add a new feature, that feature has to be added by that company. The obvious problem with that is you only get what the vendor ends up providing for you. The solution is based on IETF standard RFC, RFC 3261. So anybody's device, anybody's application server, anybody's anything that supports SIP will work on this. You're not limited to just the equipment that's provided by a single manufacturer. The way we roll the solution out too, you have local control. So one of the problems with a lot of cloud-based solutions is anytime you want to add a user, you have to go ahead and add in, you have to place a work order, get it added by a service provider. With this one here, we've created a web portal. Web portal lets your campus ship with and in common, so you can use your standard NetID system to be able to go in, have somebody from your campus administer the service. They can add lines, they can take away lines, they can delete lines, they can do anything they really need to. But you still have other people managing the call manager for you. Call managers are expensive, they're costly, they're hard to manage. In this case here, the service is really done by the cloud support company. You don't have to touch it. It's really at 2 o'clock in the morning on a certain date. They send you an email saying, basically turning on or upgrading at that point. It's ready to go. We have one of the problems we really had when we started doing the cloud-based solution, however, was we wanted to be very sure that if the CUDI network went down, that you still had voice services up and running. So we have enough survivable equipment on campus so that if you lose the connection to CUDI, you're still working, you're still operating. So it's not like basically you're 100% in the cloud. We put enough equipment on premise that will keep calls going even when the cloud disappears. Internet 2 has been working with the Terena network and with the networks in Canada and Mexico and the Asia to try to go ahead and integrate all of the video solutions into these as well. Again, we have a lot of proprietary closed videos. You have Skype, you have Facebook, you have telepresence, you have everything else that's in a closed environment. What we're doing here is migrating it all to SIP. And in fact, we said this morning that it looks like Mexico has already started on the agreement on Selmy. Mexico has already started on the agreement to start working in that same environment. What we do is we eventually put all of our video systems in SIP as well. That way, in essence, you have a standard dial plan, you have a standard dialing system. You don't care if it's voice, video, or data. And you don't care if you're in a closed environment or open environment, you can contact everybody. The video and voice solution, by the way, we will layer another internet standard called ENUM. And what ENUM does is it uses your DNS server for you to advertise your voice and video networks so that, in essence, you can really go ahead now and make sure that those numbers are available network to network. So you don't have to take calls, send them to Telmex to have Telmex delivered to another university to get to your campus. It comes across a CUDI network, never leaves a CUDI network, works that way. We've also put in a steering committee. So one of the differences on this is we set up a steering committee that says, what are cool things we'd like to do in the future? What are things we'd like to add to it? And we've established a SIP steering committee that currently has 20 universities that are telling us what's the next greatest thing out there, what's the next thing we would like to do. And in a few seconds, I'll share some of the projects that we're working on at this time. This is the obligatory architecture cloud. There's not a test on this later. Don't worry about it, okay? But this is kind of showing you the architecture that's currently in place. So there's a set of the servers that are located in Houston, Texas. Currently, there's a set of the servers that are located in New York. Either one of those two servers supports 100% of the traffic. So if either server goes down, the other server covers it 100%. But you'll notice on the bottom there, there's a third server at the ITEC. That's the Internet 2 Technology Evaluation Center. That's the labs at Texas A&M University that I direct. And with that center, that's a center that's our development machine. That's if a university in Mexico were to say, I'd like to turn my thermostats on and off using SIP. How can we do it? ITEC is where we would go and work with you to try to test that out and make it go in a standards-based system. So the idea here would be that as the cloud platforms roll out, as CUDI, works with you towards developing the cloud platform in Mexico, additional servers would be added parallel to this, but not part of this, but parallel to this in Mexico, and Mexico City, Guadalajara, wherever. Our plan so far is these two servers to 100,000 lines, and as we add the next 100,000, it'll probably be in Denver. As we add the next 100,000, it'll probably be in Los Angeles. So we can distribute them around the country very easily. Services that are offered under this are basic premium calling. Premium calling's got about 350 features. Anything you can do on Avaya, Cisco, or anything is available on this as well. Service supports voicemail. Voicemail integrates with Outlook, so voicemail messages are delivered in a UC type platform. We have UC clients that run on the Android and iOS platforms. It integrates into instant messaging and presence. And we're in the process right now of adding WebRTC over the next year. WebRTC is a new capability that's just being added to it and integrated with it as we speak. Desktop sets include a large number of things. You have your standard phones, and Cisco phones support SIP, Wi-Fi phones support SIP, Polycom supports SIP, so it's any platform that supports SIP you can do. Again, there are mobile clients, Android and iOS, and video conferencing systems, Polycom, and Tandberg all support SIP. This is kind of a cool little device that I carry around with me. It's a USB, it's a jack. It's a USB speakerphone that I can use at conferences if I'm away from the office and I want to go ahead and hold a conference call. I simply set this up on a desk, plug it into my laptop, run my UC client, and I've got a speakerphone. I've got a conference-type speakerphone, just like we have in our offices, wherever I go. So it's these types of things, again, that are standards-based, that really end up enabling the capability. So I mentioned the steering committee. steering committee is chaired by Rick Simmons out of Tulane University, and includes Rutgers University, Iowa State. There's 20 universities all together. We're working on several projects, and what we do on the projects is, again, this is a community solution. So out of the projects, we deliver a cookbook. So the cookbook is given to you as a university and says, if you want to do this service, this is how you do it. We run through the configurations and everything else, so we make it very easy to do. What happens in most cases today, every university has to figure out how to do something. And in essence, really, it's a lot of time, money, and resources spent on trying to figure out how to get done what we need to do. In this case here, we do it as a community. We document it, we give it to you, and it's available for your use. A number of the committee members have said they really don't want Link to do the call processing for them, but they'd like to use the Link desktop clients. So there is a Link gateway that we're in the process of integrating. Network performance monitoring. What we're doing there is setting up probes around the network as we go to each university, so we can measure voice parameters like packet loss, latency, and jitter to make sure that the voice services are working properly. And if they aren't, then we have an ability to troubleshoot. Again, like I said, WebRTC, IMS, it's IP multimedia subsystem. So at IMS, we're working with Verizon and AT&T on their wireless, on their cellular networks. And Verizon and AT&T in the States, and I'm sure all of the cellular providers in Mexico, are migrating voice services over to VoLTE, sensor voice over LTE. So what they're doing with VoLTE is that is SIP. So what we would like to do with VoLTE, with the service providers, and again, we're working with the labs for Verizon right now, what we'd like to do with VoLTE is to say, I no longer have a Verizon voicemail box. I no longer have a Verizon telephone number. I have my university voicemail box. I have my university telephone number. And when I dial out on this, that in essence is what it's used. So IMS does the integration between the carrier cellular network and the enterprise network, or university networks. Very, very robust capabilities, and it's being done right now by the carriers. Location-based services, when I'm sitting in an office here, how do you find out where I am? How do you find out if you need to do emergency calling? How do you do that? And then with UC1, again, bringing the mobility. So we actually have soft clients that run on top of the Android and iOS devices that will go ahead and actually be my telephone device. So I got the exact same capabilities in the office that I have in a mobile environment. So the announcement today is that we're rolling out a project that involves CUDI, AmbitaFace, and Mitel. And that project is to actually develop and deploy the voice in the cloud or the SIP services here in Mexico. Again, modeled a lot like what we've done, what we've been successful with in the U.S., but developed and designed and customized for Mexico. You've got a different environment, you have a lot of different things here in Mexico than we have in the States. In fact, most of the time I'm jealous over some of the capabilities on here because we tend to be way too bureaucratic in the States. But in essence, really, it customizes it to the Mexican institutions, Mexican universities. So, as we did with the SIP in the cloud service in the U.S., what we did is we identified some early adopters. The early adopters were the universities that said, I'd like to try this out. I'd like to be a part of the rollout. And by the way, if it works, we'll do this on our campus. We are in the process of setting up and scheduling a workshop here in Mexico that will bring the universities that would like to be a part of the trial, like to be a part of the early adapters, bring them in, show them how it works, let them set up lines, let them understand the technology, and go ahead and make that available. By the way, I will not be teaching it. It will be in Spanish, so it'll be pretty good there. And then from there, we'd like to roll it out into a trial. The trial, then, are the early adopters. And the early adopters, then, basically, are the folks that would be the first early to deploy. As with the early adopters, what we would really like to do would be to go ahead and actually invite the first 3, 4, 5 to join us in the ISC, in the steering committee, so that, in essence, we can also learn from what you're doing here in Mexico, and that information can help be used to help set up and steer our direction in the United States as well. So the folks, again, Carlos Castasus has been working towards helping set this up. I'm very honored, very delighted to be able to be invited to your conference here. Alfredo Mendoza is with Almeda Trace. Maybe kind of raise your hand. Alfredo basically is one of the folks, is one of three partners that's going to be working on this. So he's also available to help answer questions and help with things. But I will be around until tomorrow afternoon. So if you're interested, please, please, please get a hold of us. Ask us questions. I'd be very, very happy to share whatever level of detail you want. That's all that I have, and I don't know if I have any time for questions or not. I do have time for questions. Perfect. Okay. Are there any questions? I couldn't have done that good job. Go ahead, Alice. Good point, good point. All of the universities that are currently migrating over to the SIP services have PBX. So we have to do integration there. So what we will usually do is if the PBX is new enough, and like for example with the Nortel, it's done a CS upgrade, then we can go ahead and put some SIP trunks in there and do the peering between the SIP service and the local service until the integration is completed. We've even done that by putting in gateways and doing E1 connections between the two. So yeah, it's real important that they be integrated seamlessly during the transition, because we understand that university is not going to close at 5 o'clock on Friday with the old system and open up at 8 o'clock Monday morning with the new system. You don't want to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I was reading the history that you presented in 12 years ago, the project of voice over IP in Tampico.
In Tampico, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's telling.
It could have been 12 years ago, I'm not that old.
We are talking about an open platform, is correct?
Yes. The system is completely, again, standards, open standards based. So that's one of the nice things about it is if you have, for example, let's say I have an ABST or somebody else's call center, anybody, any platform, whether it be a service provider, even the service providers like Telmex and everyone else are not providing SIP trunks. So since this is all SIP based, we can interface with SIP trunks. We can do SIP trunks to other platforms. So if I have a recording system, a number of companies now, most of the recording systems have gone over to SIP-based. So if I need to record certain lines, let's say for the police department, all that is supported by the SIP standards. You know, for recording, for example, it uses another RFC called SIPREC. And what SIPREC does is it goes in there and does an invite to the person calling and also does an invite to the recorder, and it shares the media. So it's all done, again, standards-based, which means that typically you get more capability, you have more options available to you because you've got a wider community of vendors that you're choosing with. You can choose the best of breed. You don't necessarily have to go with one vendor for the entire platform. Now, there are people that develop parts of SIP in open source and develop applications in open source, and there are open source applications being developed every day. So that in essence, really what it does is it leverages the openness of the platform. Okay, thanks. Good setup. Any other questions? Yes, in fact, we use the we currently have an office in Mexico City. We have an outreach center in San Miguel de Allende, and then it looks like we are opening up a research office up at a research park in the Yucatan. So we're in three locations, and by the way, all of them are on SIP services. Okay. Yes, sir. Alfredo.
What, given your experience, how long would it take to implement cloud services in a campus such as, let's say, one of the universities of Mexico? How would you say it?
Okay. But that again, as you know, there's a lot of decisions that are being made right now. But the time frame of rolling out the services and leveraging the services can be done very, very rapidly. I was in Atlanta earlier this week, and on Sunday we did a workshop, and we brought the platform to the workshop on Sunday morning, set it up, and we were configuring lines and using lines on Sunday over the network because we had a network connection at the site. We typically, in the U.S., when we want to do a trial, we'll go ahead and bring 10 telephone devices out to the campus. We'll go ahead and set them up on numbers we've already established, and we can do that. It takes less than a day. So really the biggest, and there is also the opportunity here for us to leverage the two servers in New York and Houston until they're actually established in Mexico. So we wouldn't have to wait for full deployment in Mexico. We could actually begin the trials almost immediately. So the time frame is we can do it as quickly as we can get the universities in Mexico to identify themselves as a possible early adapter. And I know you don't want to really commit yourself at a meeting like this, but how many of you would be interested in doing being one of the early adopters, one of the trial universities? Anybody? Wow, this isn't scary. This isn't hard. We'll help you do it all. Okay, we'll let you go back and talk about it. But again, for the universities, and a number of the universities that are currently putting this in the United States already have voice-over IP platforms that they're changing from, because the ongoing cost of supporting the voice-over IP platforms is very expensive. A number of the universities, like Iowa State, had an old Avaya. It was end-of-life. It needed to be turned off. They transitioned 10,000 lines over a 90-day period. I don't recommend doing that, but their maintenance was done. It was gone. It was over with. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I'm around. Run me down, hunt me down, find me, and we can talk. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Walt, for your presentation.